We are on the top of page 100 and 304, chapter 24. We're talking about what happens when a person transgresses any sin, a filo avera kala, something that he calls a light sin, that causes a separation between the Jew and Hashem. But he said the last thing he left off on was that's only with the hispashtus hanefesh, with the external parts of the soul.
Right.
The internal, the essence of the soul is never, what you call chachma sheba nefesh, is never separated. Okay. Avol be'emez la'amite. This is where the Alter Rebbe really doesn't pull any punches. From here to the end of the chapter now. It says, you'll know what your metal is if you, by the time you get to the end of this chapter. An absolute truth. Afilo avera kala. If you really want to know, even something which you're going to refer to as a light sin, something which is, people don't even consider it a sin. Like the classic example, talking in shul. Okay. Hare avera, hare ha'avra over al ratzin ha'olion baruch hu. The person who is transgressing that commandment is violating the will of Hashem. V'hu b'tachlis apirud m'yichudu v'achdusa yizbarach. And that person is ultimately separated from Hashem. Because there's no such thing as just something you call a little bit wrong. The Alter Rebbe is very straight. Either it's holy and you're connected to Hashem, or it's unholy and the person's separated from Hashem.
It's kind of like being a little bit pregnant.
Yeah, Yosef Misitrach v'Klipa Nichrei Elokim Acherim. And he's even worse than the forces of evil that they refer to Hashem as other gods, that they refer to as other gods, because they're doing what they're created for.
Yeah, yeah.
V'avodah zarah mamash. And they're called idolatry.
Yeah, yeah.
So here it is, the Alter Rebbe is equating talking in shul to idolatry. Putting it on the same par, the same level, and saying that ultimately, on a spiritual level, the result is exactly the same.
Yeah,
yeah. That what are all these things which are coming from the forces of evil? These are all the things in the world that derive their nurture from the Shalosh Klippas HaTameyos, the three unclean klippa levels of klippa. Like, for example, non-kosher animals and non-kosher wild animals and bugs and worms. K'maymer yitush kadmach. As the expression is, that even a gnat precedes you. Because what is the deal with a gnat? Pirsht af yitush. What's why say even a gnat? There's no commercial use for gnats. Even until the year 2010, they have the industrialists have not figured out what to do and somehow to market gnats.
Gnats, right? Yes.
Shemachnis ve'ena meitze. What do gnats do? Gnats are born. They suck blood.
Yes.
They lay eggs.
Yes.
And they die.
Right.
And that's what gnats do. And what does the next generation of gnats do? They're born, they suck blood, they lay eggs, and they die.
Yes.
Exactly. Shehu klipa hayoyse tachtayne v'rechayku mechinis kedusha. There is no worse klipa than that. That this is something that doesn't produce anything.
Right. Yeah.
It takes in, all it does is, as we said before, way back, it says that the nature of a klippa is to say, hav halitaini, give me, stuff me.
Yeah.
Okay? So here you have this gnat, at least with Esav, you get, we got concrete out of the deal. Esav was the father of the Romans.
Ah.
The Romans invented concrete.
Okay, fair enough.
So, but with gnats, we don't get anything.
Right.
We're on page 103. And even such a creature, which is as far as away from the levels of holiness are concerned. You want a cup of tea? Something? Excuse me. Even such a creature who you can't describe as having any good. And we've often wondered, what is it that gnats do? Is on a higher level, le'ish ha'chaytib, bihistal shalus. And when you're talking about in the pecking order, a cup of tea?
Please.
Adel? No? Could you bring me a cup of hot water, please? Milk.
What?
Milk. That doesn't matter.
I wasn't listening.
Just the best.
It's all part of. Okay. So that, we're on page 103. So this creature is the furthest away from Kedusha, but it's on a higher level. We're talking about who gets their life force first.
Yeah.
Because a gnat is a gnat A plus.
I haven't thought about it that way.
A gnat is being a gnat 100% of its ability. Because what's a gnat created for? A gnat is created to be a gnat.
To eat.
It's created to be born, suck blood, lay eggs, and die. And when it does that, it did it 100% of its capabilities.
Yeah.
This person, who's even doing something so innocuous, say, as talking in shul,
yes,
which he equated before at the top of the page as being akin to idolatry because it's in opposition to Hashem's will,
yeah,
is worse than a gnat. Why? The gnat's doing it 100%. He gets an A plus.
Yeah.
This guy is not doing it 100%.
F minus.
So maybe not necessarily an F minus. He's got some good things going for him, but he's not doing it 100%.
Well, during the process, I don't know about that.
He's not doing
100%. I'm not making grades. It's not my business to make grades.
That's what I'm saying. He's not 100%.
Yeah.
And because he's not 100%,
yeah.
So then he's on a lower level.
Yeah, sure, right.
He's got a lower grade.
Of course he does.
And you know what? When it comes down to payback, when it comes down to giving life, who's going to get their, what creature is going to get their life force first in the pecking order?
The gnat. Sure.
Because the gnat's doing what he's supposed to do.
Yeah.
This individual is not. Oof. And therefore, since he's on a lower level, God gives to the gnat first and then gives to him.
That's why the goyim are above us now, all the other nations.
Because they're doing what they're supposed to be doing.
They're supposed to be doing.
They're doing what they're supposed to be doing. The kol shekein shar b'alei chayim, and for sure, if you're talking about a gnat, what about the what about a rhinoceros? You know, you can do things with a rhinoceros. You know, an elephant, a hippopotamus, a dog, a vulture, a rat. Afilu chayis uroi shekulam eino masigim taf mishanim tafkidim pekudosu yizborek v'shamrim ruchem v'afagav de'iu lo chazi. That all of them, a rhinoceros gets A plus for being a rhinoceros, and a hippopotamus gets an A plus for being a hippopotamus, and a rat gets an A plus for being a rat. But this guy doesn't get an A plus for being a guy.
Mm-mm.
He's not a guy. As it says, and you're going to be quoting soon the story with Daniel. It says, Adam Rishon was afraid. He didn't want to go to the Garden of Eden. Because what's going to happen, there's a lot of wild animals out there. And it's just one of him. And all those animals out there are a lot stronger, a lot faster, and his life was in danger. So what does Hashem say? Hashem says, don't worry. The fear of the animals will be upon you. And that's what it says. Hashem says the fear of the animals are upon man. Adam is the word that's used. Okay? Meaning, he explains. Okay, Pirush Rizal She'ein Chayara Marshal is Ba'adam Elyin Kinina Loka Behema. That the only reason why an animal would attack a person is the animal confuses it for an animal. There's a statement in the Gemara. There's a statement in the Gemara that says a mouse won't attack even a one-day-old baby because it's alive. But a mouse will attack a dead Oigmal Chaboshan because it's just a dead body.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, here he wants to take it one step further. It says that all the animals are afraid of people.
Right.
Provided
they're people.
That they act like people.
Right.
Exactly. As he says right now.
Yeah.
If he looks at if the person is acting like an animal, so the animal says, one of us, lunch.
Mm.
Okay?
Right.
The tzaddikim she'ein tzelem Elokim istalek me'al paneihem, the righteous, the tzaddikim, that the image of God never leaves their face, chayis rois askafim kaimeyu, then even wild animals are subjugated to them. As is explained in the Zohar, gabi Daniel b'neiva rois, as is explained by Daniel in the lion's den, was it miraculous that Daniel didn't get eaten? Maybe not. It could have been, but given the nature of who Daniel was, I would just go so far out as to say that it wasn't very miraculous.
Right. It was.
What was the deal with the lions? The lions hadn't eaten for 3 days.
Right.
And they throw Daniel, who's an 18-year-old kid, into this den of this pit with lions in it. There is no way to get out except to be hoisted out. And he's there for 3 days, and the lions don't bother him. Why don't the lions bother him? Because we're talking about Daniel.
Hmm.
Okay, Daniel at this point has already experienced prophecy.
Hmm.
Daniel is not going to be something that a lion's going to mess with because of the promise which was made to Adam.
Yeah.
If you'll be an Adam, then the animals will be animals.
Yeah.
Meaning is what? There are different names which are ascribed to people.
Mm.
Adam refers to a person who uses their intellect. Ish refers to a person who uses their emotions in a human way.
Mm-hmm.
But Adam, which is the highest name for an individual, refers to the ability of using their intellect. And what are we using our intellect for? We're using it for a godly purpose. And so this person who's using their intellect for a godly purpose is doing what he's supposed to be doing. Avraham Lipsker used to always say that the world's problems are the fault of the Lubavitchers. You see, if you really want to boil it down, who's responsible for all the ills of the world? A Lubavitcher Hasidim. So he used to say, because if Lubavitcher Hasidim were to act like the Alter Rebbe wanted the Lubavitcher Hasidim to act, then the rest of the Jewish people would act the way they're supposed to act. And if the Jewish people act the way that they're supposed to act, so then all the nations of the world would act the way they're supposed to act. And the whole world would be in alignment. So it's
who said this?
Avraham Lipsker, who's the Rosh Yeshiva in Marstown, that I used to teach Tanya. So so there is a pecking order. If a person's going to act like an animal, so an animal's going to act like even worse. So with Daniel, was it miraculous? Maybe not. He was acting the way that God promised. What did the trust transpired was what God promised. If you'll act properly, then the animals will act properly. Because we see what happened after 3 days of being in the lion's den. So his accusers said, well, maybe the lions weren't hungry. So they said, fine, let's check it out. And they threw them, the accusers, into the den. And what happened to them?
They were lunch.
If that be the case, a person who sins and transgresses the will of Hashem, even a filu ba'avera kala b'shas ma'isa hu b'tachlis harich mikedusha el yoina, even for just a little bit, his transgressing the will of Hashem. Okay? If someone spits in your face, and they just spat in your face a little bit, they still spat in your face. Okay, it wasn't a big lungi, as my kids would say. But still, the idea that someone would come and spit in your face is the ultimate insult. And so, therefore, a person who's doing just a little sin, okay, he's not murder, he's not a chainsaw massacrist, he's not engaged in rape, pillage, and plunder. He's talking in shul. Okay? But the signs that are written, the signs that are hanging in every shul across the world, Asa ledaber b'shas ha'tfilo v'kriyas ha'teira, it's forbidden to talk at the time of davening and reading of kriyas ha'teira. They're in every single shul. And it doesn't help in any shul. Because this is something that people just don't think it's something wrong. Okay? Why? Because they don't think that there's about the sign hanging there. What does it mean? Oh, it's a shul. And you know you're in a shul. How do you know you're in a shul?
Because everybody's talking.
Because there's a sign that says you're not allowed to talk here during davening. That's how I know it's a shul. If the sign wouldn't be there, I wouldn't know I was in a shul. I'd think I'm for sure I'm allowed to talk here now because there's nothing that says I can't talk here.
Right. Yeah.
So, but I'm being flippant. But he's saying at that time that a person is turning his back from Hashem. You don't have to use the example of talking in shul per se. You could use the fill in the blank.
Whatever
it happens to be.
Right.
Whether it's a rabbinic, whether it's Torah, whatever it happens to be. If it's something that the person, for some reason, if he's putting his head to it and he's thinking, you know, God couldn't really think that there's anything wrong with me doing this. Well, it's in the code of Jewish law. It says it's supposed to be done the other way in which this person wants to do it.
Yeah.
So this person knows better than God. And so this person is spitting in God's face, so to speak. Mm. Even if it's just a little tui, it's still spitting in God's face.
Matter of eye. Yeah, that's right.
Shehu yichude v'achdusa yizbarach yosef kol bali chaim etamei mushkatsim v'ramasim u'mishpoim esitrach v'klipas avodah zarah. And he is on a lower level and he is further away from the holiness of Hashem and his unity more than all of the wild unclean animals, bugs and worms that derive their nurture from the forces of evil and the klippa, the force of evil involved with idolatry. Mm-hmm. So now it's clear. Now we start a new. I know. So if you get to the end of the chapter over here and you still come back next week, then you know you're what you're made out of.
Yeah.
Nefesh. Plenty of people close the book at this point and not come back.
It means that you're treating it just like the sign in shul.
That's right. I don't want to listen. He started right at the top of the page. On the second line on the top of the page.
Yeah, yeah.
He doesn't pull any punches. He says, Be'emes la'amitai.
Yeah, the roof.
If you absolutely want to know, listen, if you've gotten this far, you're up to chapter 24 already, and you really want to know and you really want to be in the program, we're not pulling any punches. This is the absolute truth. Not just truth.
Yeah, yeah. Tell it.
Absolute truth.
Tell it like it is.
It says that the Alter Rebbe would have not put in the word absolute. He would have had 50,000 more Hasidim. But the word absolute truth scared them away. Because who wants to handle the absolute truth? When prevented with absolute anything, people get nervous. People get scared away.
Yeah, yeah.
But the Alter Rebbe said, no, we need to have Chabad. If it's Chabad, Chabad man pnimi. Chabad demands an inner conviction, inner fortitude.
Genuine stuff.
Chabad wants just a few good men.
Yeah.
We had that saying
first. We're still looking.
We still had that saying first. Yeah. it's true. It says that the Rebbe Rishab had three Chasidim. Yeah. Okay, and you remember this is whole Russia. Yeah. I don't know who the three were. I know the Rebbe's father was one of them.
Yeah.
And it says that the Friedrich Rebbe had one chassid.
Yeah.
And that was the Rebbe. And the Rebbe was a Rebbe with no chassidim. That's what it says.
Probably true.
It's a Rachmanis on him.
Yeah.
On the Rebbe.
What does that mean exactly?
If you're talking about caliber of, if you want to be called a chassid, and you have to be on the caliber of the Rebbe's father, who was an erudite scholar and probably a tzaddik in his own right.
Yes, the Rebbe's father?
The Rebbe's father.
Of course he was. Mm-hmm.
His name was Levi Yitzhak Schneerson.
Yes.
He was the chief rabbi of the Ukraine.
Yeah.
Okay. He had the insightfulness and the scholarship of a Rebbe. He could have been a Rebbe himself.
Of course he could.
And he had the intestinal fortitude to fight against the Russians that it killed him.
19th or 20th century?
He died in 1944.
Okay.
And this person was a chassid of the Rebbe Rishab.
Mm-hmm.
And he would say, who was a chassid of the Rebbe? Was of the Friedrich Rebbe? Was the Rebbe. We have to talk about what that that means. So there's nobody of that kind of caliber to be say that there's a chassid like the Rebbe to the Rebbe.
Yeah, not even.
Now, umash v'keach nefesh deicha shar averus v'gam yaver val yareg. It says there's certain times when a person has to transgress a mitzvah, like for example, to save a life.
Yeah.
As is discussed, okay, a person's having a heart attack on Shabbos in shul. What do? The first thing you do is you call 911.
Right.
If you happen to be one of those shuls that have a defibrillator, you grab the paddles and you go.
And you do.
You plug the thing in.
Yep.
If the shirt needs to get ripped off of his chest, you rip off the shirt, even though that's a violation of prohibition of Shabbos of ripping materials like that. And you do whatever it takes. You get the guy into the ambulance, and if someone needs to go with him who's not sick, to go with them to the hospital, they get in the ambulance
and
too,
they
go with him.
That's right.
Okay, because pikuach nefesh, deich esakel. In this instance, with these mitzvahs, so saving a life supersedes everything. And the Gemara says, asa Shabbos asa chol kedei shevikayim kama shabbosim. Make profane one Shabbos, so that he'll be able to keep many Shabboses.
Yeah.
That's the idea. And that's because we're smart. We're not going to say, listen, the mitzvahs are absolute, and I have to do them even if they kill me.
Yeah.
That's not the way we work. That's called stupidity.
Qualified for that.
That is, it says, Kihem chayenu ve'erech yameinu. The mitzvahs are our lives and cause our days to be lengthened.
Yes, yes, yes.
So then when do we do it? So really, what's the deal behind it? Is that a person who is violating the Shabbos to save somebody's life
is not
violating the Shabbos.
No, not at all.
That's the definition in that circumstance
of keeping Shabbos.
Of keeping Shabbos.
Absolutely.
That's in that moment, that's how you observe the Shabbos.
Keeping it perfectly.
Could you say that this person right now is a person of Shomer Shabbos? You know, if he's not Shomer Shabbos, so then if he touches Mavushal wine, you can't use it for making Kiddush. You wouldn't be able to use them to say light an oven,
right,
to make pasta sroll, all that stuff. This guy was getting in the ambulance. Are we going to worry about him touching mavusha wine? No, absolutely not. Non-mavusha wine.
Yeah.
Absolutely not. He's a Shabbos observant Jew because now he's observing the Shabbos.
Sure.
This, of course, is true except for three instances, and he's going to talk about those. And it said you can't say that the reason why a person could be violate the Shabbos to save a life, whereas the big three prohibitions of idolatry, adultery, and murder can never be transgressed. The person says, listen, you've got a problem here, you got Pekeach Nefesh over here. Okay? Either you murder somebody or I'm going to murder this guy over here. So the person in that circumstance has to say, kill me. Mm-hmm. And the Torah says, why? Because whose blood is redder, yours or his?
That's right.
Who are you to determine who should live, who not should live? It's up to this. If this individual is going to do the aver of killing somebody, so let him put that onus on him.
Right, that's exactly.
And the same thing also with idolatry.
Yep.
Because a person can't say, you know, I'm going to do this idolatry, and I'm still going to be connected to Hashem, because idolatry is the exact antithesis to Judaism. Judaism is defined.
Right.
Very often I speak to high school groups, comparative religion classes. And what I do is, I don't lecture the whole time. I give a short introductory speech, and then I let them ask questions. The speech starts with somebody says, what do you want about Judaism? Let's say you would be a Martian. Okay? You come down on your ship. Okay? You open up the door, and you see me. And you say, hey, what are you? Okay? And I say, I'm Jewish. And what's Jewish? The Martian asks. He says, Judaism is a monotheistic religion that... Everything else is just trappings.
Mm-hmm.
The definition of Judaism is a belief in one God.
Right.
You can't have somebody who's a pagan Jew. It doesn't work that way.
It doesn't work, does it?
No. We're going to incorporate paganism or pantheism into our Judaism. No, can't do it. Excuse me. So the it's antithetical, and the same thing also with adultery. The very primary foundation of the Jewish people is the sanctity of the family.
Yes, 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 yes.
It is what Judaism is based upon, what it's built upon. Okay, as I heard a rabbi once say, you can have families and societies without shuls, but you can't have shuls without families and society. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, if you have shuls, you wind up with like areas where Jews used to live. You know, the back hills of Italy, the 2,000 years ago, there were Jewish communities. Now there's just old shuls.
Right.
Okay, that's not Judaism. Mm-hmm. Judaism isn't looking at something that's 2,000 years old. Mm-hmm. You could have a minyan in your living room. You don't need a shul.
True.
But you have 10 people. You have a minyan. You have a community. Mm-hmm. So adultery is the very basis, the backbone, or the prohibition. Observing it and being chaste is the very basis of the foundation of Judaism. It's like the starting point from where we go to there. So those three commandments can never be broken. So he says, don't think that Shabbos can be broken because it's less of a commandment. Mm-hmm. Than idolatry, adultery, or murder. Because you look, because one of the things we can never do, it says, is you can never weigh the importance of the mitzvahs. Because, for example, Teida Shari Shabbos Chamura V'Shukula Kavod Zara L'Inyan Shchitas Masur L'Davar Acher V'Yer Deyasim and Beis Shchitas Mumer L'Davar Acher. It says a person who violates the Shabbos is considered like a goy when it comes to shechita.
Hmm.
A person who doesn't keep Shabbos, if he shechs a cow, he says a bracha, maybe he went to the mikveh even beforehand, and he contemplated what he's doing, and he's feeling tremendous remorse that he's got to kill this animal, and he shechs the animal prop. The knife is 100%, and the simanim are 100%, they slaughtered it properly, and he checked the animal over, it's a glatt kosher treif.
Hmm.
This animal is 100% not kosher.
Hmm.
And would be exactly the same as if a non-Jew had taken a gun and blown its head off. Because this person doesn't keep the Shabbos.
Hmm.
However, Masha Ankim, Mumur Legili Arayus. You got a guy who is a Shomer Shabbos. Just so happens that he can't keep his hands off the ladies. So technically speaking, I don't know if I'd be so fast to do it, but technically speaking, his meat's okay. You can trust his shechita.
Yeah.
Okay, so here, what do we have over here?
Yeah.
What do we have going over here? Shabbos, you're allowed to violate to save someone's life. Adultery, you can't. Shabbos, you can't trust the guy's meat if he violates it. Adultery, if he violates it, you could trust his meat. What does this tell us? We haven't got a clue what's going on with mitzvahs. Which one's more important, less important?
Exactly right.
Okay, idea. God always keeps us just, keeps us not even on our toes, keeps us off our toes.
Hmm.
Okay, it says that the Rebbe's secretary, Leibel Groner, was his secretary for many years. And it says that he was in some place where there were other Hasidim.
Hmm.
Other types of Hasidim, Hungarian or Polish, whatever they were. So someone, he was introduced to, this is the Lubavitcher Rebbe's secretary. So he says, someone asked him, how long are you Lubavitcher Rebbe's secretary? He said, 20 years. He says, 20 years is still the secretary. In our neighborhood, you're the secretary for 20 years, you open up your own shop. You become your own rabbi.
Whoa.
So he said, I thought about it. He says, here I'm watching. He says, somebody asks a question. And I see the rabbi answers it a certain way. And then a person comes a little while later, asks exactly the same question, and the rabbi answers exactly the same way. And I said, oh, I got it. Then a third person comes, asks exactly the same question, the rabbi gives a totally different answer.
Totally different answer.
He says, I can't keep up with it. I'm not, So he was probably joking with the guy at the time. But anyway, so the purpose is, the point is that you can't weigh which mitzvah is considered more severe or less severe in the eyes of God. Because they all have their points of severity, and they all have their points of leniency. And at the time of davening, it's absolutely 100% forbidden to talk.
That's all.
Finished. V'afilu hachi pikiach nefesh deicha Shabbos v'loi gili arayis. As he says, Shabbos pushes away a life-threatening situation, whereas adultery doesn't. Ella de gezeres akosav. Why is it like that? We're kind of stuck because God pulled the trump card on it. Gezeres akosav, because God said so. We really can't figure it out.
Exactly.
We're stuck. Our hands are tied because Hashem said, this is the way I want it done. And sometimes we just have to back off and say, but why? I'm not telling. Does it make any sense? Well, if you really thought about it, none of this religion makes much sense. The whole Judaism. If you a person's not Jewish and is analyzing all these things that Jews do, I mean, much of it would make, a little of it would make much sense.
Yeah.
And okay, it works for us, but, you know, looking on the outside, looking in, there's strange things that these people do.
Yeah.
They wake up early in the morning, and they babble in a foreign tongue for 45 minutes, an hour, and they have these things strapped onto their bodies, the whole thing looks weird, and they wear these strings hanging out of their pants, and they have all these customs, and they don't eat pork. What's the big deal not to eat pork? I mean, you know, people have been eating pork for thousands of years. Is there anything wrong with eating pork? There's nothing wrong with eating pork. It's not unhealthy. If it'd be unhealthy, the USDA would have banned it a long time ago. But we don't do it because we don't do it. Shem said so.
That's
right. But let's say the person is done. He's finished. Now, what happens to the normal person, as he said back in chapter 11, a normal person does something wrong. What's his reaction after he finished doing it wrong?
Feels bad.
I feel really bad about that.
Feels bad.
It says, Rishayim Malei Harata. The wicked are filled with remorse.
Yeah.
Because every time they do something wrong, they feel sorry that they did it wrong.
Sure.
So then what happens? He says, provided, of course, it's not some heinous crime. Like, for example, something which would be obligated to be like karis, which would be a sin like incest, or maybe misavidei shemayim, that the nefesh elokis mesel legamri v'nichras ha'mashor shebo elokim chayim. That in those instances, with those serious sins, which there are about 60 of them, and 27 of the 60 are incest, for example. Mm. You know, because you have four different aunts,
right,
that you're not allowed to marry, and each one is a separate... A separate prohibition. Rakshe pagam ksas bedvei kusav achuzos b'shor shebechidzu. What happened is he caused a dent, or a nick, or a blemish, in his connection to Hashem. So what happens if you put a dent in something? You get it hammered out. You get take rid of the dent. What happens if you get a blemish on something? Put a stain on something?
Polish it up.
You polish it up.
You clean it out.
In other words, the person has to do tshuva.
Right, right.
So the person does tshuva, so it takes care of it.
Right.
Okay, looking at the note now. Lefi erech v'chaluki b'chinas ha'pagam b'nefesh. If you're talking at the different types of stains that could be put on the sin, u'b'shor shebel yainim, kach heim chalka b'chinas Hamerik v'ha'enish b'gehenim. So this is generally the punishment fits the crime. However severe is the sin that the person did, is going to cause a greater blemish on their soul,
right,
and it'll take that much longer for the person to get cleansed in Gehenim.
Yeah.
Ibayil mazor in this world. L'kol avin v'chet ha'enish miyuchad l'merik la'aviru haluchluch. However much it takes to get rid of that schmutz, that the person beschmutzed his soul. And he discusses this at great length in 12 chapters in Egeres HaTshuva, which is the third section of the Tanya. Meaning to say, first of all, this idea that punishment fits the crime. First of all, Jews don't believe in punishment. The word Gehenim appears in Tanya exactly twice. Once in a side point in chapter 8, and here in a note in chapter 24. Mm. Is that something that Jews dwell on? Because if you're always doing the right thing, you don't have to worry what's going to be what's happening if we do the wrong thing. Just keep doing the right thing. You don't have to worry about it.
Yeah.
But he mentions it as a side point. Oh, by the way, the punishment fits the crime, meaning however much schmutz you caused, that's how much it's going to take to clean it up. Mm. That's what Gehenim is. Gehenim is not a punishment. What happens, you're wearing a fancy suit, okay, to a Shabbos dinner or to a wedding or something like that, and you get some grease on the lapel.
Right.
What do you got to do? You have to take the thing to the cleaners. Right. What are they doing, the cleaners? You point out this is a grease stain. So what are the first thing that they do is they take some sort of a caustic chemical and they spritz it onto the stain.
Right.
Then they take the thing and they put it into a machine with more caustic chemicals.
Right.
And it tumbles it and tosses it and with all the caustic chemicals, and then they take the thing out and they put it on this hot ironing board, okay, and presses out all the wrinkles and hang it up, good as new.
Mm-hmm.
Depending on which cleaners you go to, would you say that the cleansing process is a punishment to the suit?
Yeah, of course not.
No. It's a cleansing process because the suit with the stains is not wearable. You take it to the cleaners, and the whole process of cleansing now makes the suit wearable. So the cleansing process that occurs when a person does something wrong is in order to make the soul usable. Let's say a person passed away, and he has uncorrected misdeeds. So he has to go to this whole cleansing process in order to be allowed to go into Gan Eden. Because he's not going, he can't go into Gan Eden with filthy clothes. You have to have clean clothes to go before, stand before Hashem. Mm. So a person goes in, how much does the average person spend in Gehenna? A week.
11 months.
A week.
A week?
A week.
Seriously?
A week.
Where'd you learn this? I don't doubt you, I just wonder where you're... Where
why? This is the numbers that I heard. No one's ever come back and explained it.
But
12 months is for the most heinous individual. And we say Kaddish for everybody for 11 months, that because it's supposed to be the Kaddish is supposed to help the pains of Gehenna. And we don't want anybody to think that there are dearly departed person is such a heinous individual that they'd be in Gehenna for a full 12 months. Uh-huh. So we only say Kaddish for 11 months.
So the guy suffers really bad that last month if he's there.
If he's there, he really does suffer. If he's there and he's delayed for 11th, for the 12th month, he deserves to be there.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Okay, but the...
It's going to be tough.
Average person doesn't do anything wrong. People don't do wrong things.
I don't know.
They do little things. So the little things, okay, it's just it takes a week. Okay, what does it talk about Gehenna? We don't know a whole lot about Gehenna. But we do know that Avram was given the choice. Either your children can spend 400 years in purgatory, or they can either can spend 400 years in Egypt, uh-huh, or they can spend an hour in Gehenna, an hour in purgatory.
Uh-huh.
Okay? So, Avraham was smart. He said, how can I make a choice? Not I know what Egypt is, not I know what Gehenna is. Mm. How could I choose? So it says in the post, this is by the Bris Bein of Besarim, where they go, Avraham cut the parts, the animals in pieces, right, and Avraham, and Hashem said, I'm going to make your children as multiple as the stars.
Right.
And then it says that the vultures right descended right on the carcasses,
right, right, right.
And Avraham, the night came and Avraham fell asleep and a great dread befell him.
Right, right, right.
He was shown a minute of purgatory.
Wow.
And when he woke up after the minute, he said, I'm taking the 400 years.
Wow.
Okay, so we can say that a minute of purgatory
1 minute
is comparable to 400 years of toil in Egypt. Okay, so now.
A week, huh?
And what happens? Yeah,
that's a tough week. That's tough. Man.
Because what happened in the course of that 400 years that the Jews were in Mitzrayim,
yeah,
they totally and completely burnt out their connection to Terach. And we became the children of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And we're now able to receive the Torah in those 400 years. So what person walking around in shul would you say would deserve more than a week? If you're talking about Gehenna being on such a caliber such as that, people don't walk, we don't have such people like that. There's not too many people causing such great sins. But then he says something very interesting also. It says in Gehenna, Ei ba'olam hazeh, or punishments that happen to a person in this world. Mm. It says that the relationship between this world and the next world,
yeah,
is like the sun and a shadow. I don't know if we've mentioned this before. Mm. If you take a stick and you stick it in the ground, okay, it casts a shadow. The shadow moves a couple inches.
Right.
What had to happen between the sun and the earth for that stick to move a couple inches?
A few million miles.
Yes. The sun and the moon and the earth had to move several million miles.
A few million miles.
So we see what happens is able to be accomplished over here in a course of a little bit, a few inches.
Right.
Up above in a higher sphere is moving millions of miles.
Right.
So it says here what happens. So a person has some sort of affliction over here in this world.
Yeah.
That saves them a whole lot of Gehenna in the world to come.
Yeah.
Yeah. So for example, it says a person puts his hands in his pocket, his right pocket, to take out his money. And his money's not there.
It's in his left pocket.
And he puts his hand in his other pocket, and his money's there. Okay? How did the person feel? He's thinking his money's in his right pocket, because why is he sticking his hand in his right pocket to take out his money? And in his mind, his money's in his right pocket.
Sure.
He puts his hand in his pocket, and he goes, oh my God, where's my money?
Right.
There's that's called an affliction. That's called a suffering.
Yeah.
We don't understand what has been accomplished in cleansing the soul just by such a little act like that.
Yeah.
It's called Yisurim Ma'av.
Yeah.
Okay? There's a story that a man came to Reb Zusha Vanapoli.
I agree.
And he wanted to divorce his wife.
Yeah.
You've heard this? I think I told this back in chapter 8. I have to go listen to, before I tell this, I have to go back on the website and listen to all the tapes. But you know what stories I told, which ones I didn't tell. And just instead of telling the story, I could say, oh, by the way,
number 7.
If you go back to chapter 8, the second part over there at minute number whatever, so there's, I'm telling the story. Go listen over there. That way the people listening to the computer now, they can just flip up over there. And they
exactly,
can Because they've already, they're listening to it already. But I thought it's been years. Anyway, so a guy comes to Reb Zusha Manipoli, he wants to get divorced. She says, my high, why do you want to get divorced? She says, I can't take this screaming. My wife, all she does all day long is scream at me. So Reb Zusha says to him, close your eyes. Okay? He closes his eyes. Reb Zusha put his hand on his shoulder. The guy started screaming, ow, it hurts. It's terrible. Oh, I hate it, terrible. Oh, stop, stop, stop. Okay, he says, open your eyes. Okay? He says, close your eyes again. He says, close your eyes again, don't worry. Closes his eyes, says, ah, this is wonderful. What a pleasure. This is so nice. He said, you divorce your wife. What's waiting for you in the next world was the first minute that I showed you. You can stay married to your wife and you put up with the screaming and she'll take all that away from you. So he went home and every time his wife would yell at him, he'd say, hey, shry some more, please, please, shry at me. Yell at me, please. V'kain b'chayavi misa v'karis ain poig min kulim b'shava. And he says, even if somebody did do something serious, he says, people could do shiva for that too.
Yeah.
Not everybody gets affected by it the same way. Harigam So now, his animal soul, which is enlivening his body, became gufay and his body. What happens is they're elevated from the sitrachar, from the forces of evil, and they become closer now and incorporated into the holiness of the godly soul, Hamalubeshes Bohem, which is enclosed inside the body and inside the animal soul, Hamamina Bahashem, which is always believing in Hashem Echad, because no matter what a person is doing, if you ask them deep down, do you believe in God? The belief is still there.
Sure. Of course it is.
Again, it was quoting Vizusha Vanapoli, and this one appears in Ahayayim, yeah? It says, the people with the greatest emunah are thieves.
Yeah.
Yes. And they're constantly praying. Before any job, anytime they break into something, they first pray, please God, don't let me get caught.
That's right.
He believes with full faith, 100% emunah is flying. Okay, he's a ganav. The commandment of lo signo, that's not, that one he doesn't get. But
it's not quite.
But he's right in there. We're going to run through the end. It's just literally, it's easier.
Okay,
even at the time that somebody's sinning, okay, they also believe in Hashem.
Yeah.
How so? It says that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, when he died, before he died, he wished upon his students that their fear of God should equal their fear of man.
Yes. Yeah.
Because when someone's watching you, you don't do anything wrong.
Something wrong, that's right.
Okay? So the person who is doing something wrong, he really does believe in Hashem. Yes. Because as soon as someone would be watching, he'd say, oop. So it's just that he gets confused a little bit. He becomes stupid.
Yeah.
The only problem is what's happening with his emuna. His animal soul, his body, has put his emuna to sleep, and that's why he's sinning. And it has caused his animal soul and his body have caused his godly soul to descend into the depths of Sheol, which is another word for saying hell.
Yeah.
Down below, underneath the ruler and dominion of the impurity of the forces of evil, Hashem Yishmarenu, may God protect us. Ve'ein lecha galus gadol mizeh me'igra rama v'kulu, And there's no greater exile than this that the soul has to endure.
Right.
That the soul, before it comes into the body, is in the highest of heights.
Yeah.
And it gets stuck in the lowest of pits,
yeah,
which is our body in this physical three-dimensional world. The source of every Jew is a level of chachma, wisdom.
Yeah.
And Hashem and His wisdom are one. Vahu kemashal ha'eches bereishis shel melech, and he says, so a person who's doing a sin, even a little sin, what is this like?
Yeah.
It's like a person who has a king, and he really loves the king, and he's really enamored with the king, and he's really has tremendous respect for the king, and will do whatever the king says. But what does he do? Is he takes the king, he says, come with me, and he grabs the king by the head. And he puts the, gives the king what we, my kids refer to as a swirly.
Right.
Okay, he sticks the king's head into the toilet.
Right.
Okay, but this is a toilet that needs to be flushed.
Yes.
There's no greater embarrassment that could possibly perpetrate it if he just does it for an instant. Because he took the head of the king,
right,
and he put it into a toilet.
Right, right, right.
Oh, it's just for a second.
Hey, oh,
you
God.
Put, you put the head of the king in the toilet, full stop. As it's known from Pirkei Avos that the forces of evil are referred to as vomit and filth. And so anytime a person is doing it just a little bit, so not only is it that they're attaching their souls, he's at the beginning of the chapter, that they're attaching their own souls to and receiving their life force from the forces of evil, they're schlepping the divine presence, which is attached to us always, into the filth and the mire as well.
Right.
To be continued. Any questions? Shlomo, a question? No? Okay. To be continued.